Hello, welcome to Chapter 3. If you're going to have a problem anywhere in this course, as far as the test is concerned, it will probably be this chapter, Chapter 3. It's not terribly difficult, but it is very confusing by the time you put it all together and realize what you're expected to know. So as we go down through here, be sure to look for the hint, those underlying questions, in which you will not have to actually memorize the answers, but merely select them from a list. But try to put the context together here and try to make these make sense to you so it's not so much to learn. At the end of this topic, I will also go back and go down the term list. The term list will be divided into two pages of 10 terms each, so it will be a little less difficult than what it may appear at first glance, but there are some terms here that have the possibility of being confusing. Okay, Section 1, the introduction section. The first topic we want to deal with is, why do we want to consider the different forms of ownership? Well, there are advantages and disadvantages to each, as you will painfully see in a moment. But basically, those reasons fall down into these six categories. I thought about whether it was appropriate to ask you to name these. It would be appropriate for a discussion kind of question, but a part of that would be to list and discuss. So by merely listing them here, I hope I'm making it easier rather than more difficult. But you do need to be able to name these six things you have to consider when choosing a form of ownership. Tax considerations, different types of ownership are taxed differently. Liability exposure, whether it's limited or unlimited or personal or whether it's just exposure to the business. Capital requirements, how much money it takes to start that up. Control, are you able to actually manage the business? Sometimes you give up control through some types of ownership. Managerial ability. Which am I capable of actually managing and succeeding with? And finally, what are my business goals? Is it the enjoyment of running the business, or is it huge, unlimited profits? Those kinds of things may determine which form of ownership that I choose. Now, what are my options? The second topic. You will also have to know these. There are really the three: sole proprietorship, partnership, and corporation. And that should be easy enough. But because there's so many variations on those, the lawyers, the legal minds of today, different entrepreneurs, different businessmen of all levels, have come up with so many combination-type forms that look a little bit like one, a little like another, and are treated differently by the government, by regulatory agencies, and by their public, that we add this fourth category, hybrid forms. So you do need to know sole proprietorships, partnerships, corporations, and hybrid forms. It leads me to the third topic, hybrid forms. We'd only ask you to identify these: S-corporation, limited liability company, and joint venture. I will try to have some other foolish answers on there to not make this difficult, but that will be the extent there. When you get to the terms for these, covering these three in the terms, even though they're general hybrid forms, I want you to think of them as hybrid forms of corporation. That will help you pin those definitions down to the appropriate three. Hybrid forms of corporations. Okay, now in later sections we'll look at those various forms individually. Section 2 is on sole proprietorship. Section 3 is on partnership. Section 4 is on corporation. And Section 5 covers those hybrid forms. It's here we'll have some idea of the terms. And that may be good enough that I will not go separately back down the list. So try to pay close attention here. Section 2, sole proprietorship, and that is the first topic. What makes that form of ownership a sole proprietorship? Simply that, because it has a sole proprietor. It's a business owned by an individual. And you will have to know what I've decided are the three top advantages and three main disadvantages of that. Any advantages, let's say it's simple to create, I can just start the business. Profits, I can earn the profits. And authority, I'm the boss. Those would be the advantages of running a sole proprietorship, running a business myself. What are the disadvantages? Well, first and perhaps foremost, I'm personally liable for that business. It's not like a corporation. I'm just an officer in the business. I have personal liability. If we break the law, I break the law. If we're fined, I'm fined. Same thing for tax treatment and all. Personal liability. Limited capital. A bit of a disadvantage. I can't earn much capital in a sole proprietorship. I basically have to borrow the money. If I bring in investors or stockholders, then I'm a different form of ownership. But to own it by myself, coming up with the capital may be difficult. Related to that would be limited skills and abilities. As the individual owner and operator, I'm pretty much limited to my own skills and abilities and those of any employees I choose to hire. So I may want to advance a little beyond that. I may want to move to a partnership, Section 3. What is a partnership? A partnership is a business owned by two or more individuals. It doesn't have to be merely two. It can be a larger number, but a partnership. And when they form this partnership, they typically, there's a document they create to list their responsibilities and obligations and what they're entitled to one another, so they have an agreement on how they're going to run this business. And that is called, of course, the partnership agreement. The next topic, the uniform partnership agreement, is really a set of laws. This is a set of laws of how partnerships must be run and operated, what it takes to make a partnership, and what must be included in it. These are typically state laws, so I think that will make it very easy when you're handling the terms. It's a set of state laws that detail how a partnership may be run. The next topic, the subtopics under that associated with the Uniform Partnership Agreement, are simply things that the Uniform UPA discusses, and I'm asking you to be able to recognize here. Notice they're underlined. You'll simply select them from a list. First, the elements of a partnership. What are the three things that make up a partnership according to the UPA? Common ownership interest. One person does not own it, another one is investing. They have common ownership. They share profits and losses. And finally, they share management participation. As we will see, that can vary based on the agreement, but in general, that's what the UPA sees as the elements of a partnership. You should be able to recognize those. The UPA grants certain things, meaning it expresses two things. And basically what it's saying here is that a valid partnership agreement should include these two things, the rights and the duties of each partner. And you simply need to identify those. But I do ask you to be able to name the two main advantages and the two main disadvantages of partnership. The main advantages is by having a partner, you have extra skills brought into the business, and you have more capital brought into the business, another investor, if you will. The disadvantages are you still have all the liability. If your partner skips out, steals all the money, or steals on behalf of the company and takes off to Mexico, you're stuck with the liability. And there is, of course, the possibility of potential conflict between the partners. They say you should never go into partnership with your friends or your family because it can only lead to trouble. What they're talking about is the potential for conflict. The next topic is another question, but again, one that I'll just ask you to recognize. What are the two types of partners? General and limited. These are our first view of the attempt to limit partners' liability. A general partner has no limit on their liability. A limited partner does have certain limitations on their liability. Those same words may also apply to their share of profits, their share of responsibility for running the business. But we normally think of liability when we think of general and limited partners. After that, we come to two terms, dissolution and termination. If one of the general partners leaves a business, we say the partnership is dissolved. It's dissolution. That's called dissolution. When the business itself actually ends, not just that one partner's left, but all partners have left, the business is no longer in business, we call that, of course, termination. Should not be a problem. Then we have a couple of special hybrid forms of these, master limited partnership and limited liability company. I don't think you'll find these difficult. Master limited partnership, what I want you to key on, is simply a company, a partnership that's treated a little bit like a corporation in that shares of stock are traded. Shares of stock for that partnership are traded publicly. The second term here would be limited liability partnership. This is when you set it up so that one partner does have limited liability. I think you'll find those easy. Moving along to corporations now. What is a corporation? The classic textbook definition of a corporation is a business that's treated as a legal entity. The business itself is thought of as having rights and responsibilities, the duty to obey the law. It is really a legal entity, a legal individual. There are three types listed in the following topic here in Section 4. Domestic, foreign, and alien corporation. Domestic is a corporation that's doing business in the state in which it was formed. A foreign corporation is a corporation doing business in a state other than the one it was formed in. And an alien corporation is a business that was actually formed in another country. So domestic, in the state, foreign from another state, and alien from another country. And once again, for corporations, you have to list the primary two advantages, limited liability and potential capital. Now your liability is limited and you have the possibility to raise huge amounts of capital by selling stock. And the two main disadvantages, double taxation, something that in the classroom we would get into in much more detail. Online, the brief explanation is that the profits are taxed twice. They're taxed, the corporation is taxed on the profit it makes. It must pay income taxes. And when it distributes those profits to its shareholders in the form of dividends, payments made as a share of the profits on their stock holdings, those individuals are again taxed on that profit. And second, by having a corporation, having those owners, and all of them have control and ownership, you have the opportunity to lose control. Finally, the last item in this chapter is alternative forms. Remember, for the sake of the definitions, I want you to think of these as hybrid forms of corporations, and that's the way I've written the definitions. The first one, the S-corporation, it simply has to do with tax treatment. S-corporation is an attempt to form a corporation, but to minimize the effects of that double taxation we noted earlier. Then a limited liability company, I want you simply to think about as, in general, not subject to as many restrictions as the other forms. Fewer restrictions than the other hybrid forms. And the very last item, joint venture. What is a joint venture? A joint venture is one form for a specific purpose and duration. Now, as we close by looking back over the list of terms, remember they'll be divided into two lists of 10. The first page will have sole proprietorship through termination. I think you'll find those fairly easy, and we just covered those very well. The second page will be the more difficult, and it will be master limited partnership through joint venture. What you should work hard to remember here is which three are hybrid forms of partnerships and which three are hybrid forms of corporation. The hybrid forms of partnerships are master limited partnerships and limited liability partnerships, and the other three, S-corporation, limited liability company, and joint venture, for purposes of our definitions, we'll consider to be hybrid forms of corporations. Thank you very much. I hope you'll find that helpful. This will not be an easy chapter on this test, but all in all, this first test should be fine. When you finish studying these three chapters, please go take the test. Again, do not wait until the deadline day.